in our church. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me, let it fade away. Your desire tonight to worship and obey. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. What a privilege it is once again to be in the house of the Lord. We're fixing to have some church. We're fixing to have camp meeting one more time. And it's such a privilege to be here. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night, if you would. Play some more of that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. I'd like to correct something that was, I may have made this announcement or a prayer request in the form of a prayer request last Wednesday night. Brother Clinton Gibby, I think I said that maybe his wife had passed away. Well, that was incorrect, but he still needs our prayers. I don't know if there's sickness involved with that request or exactly what, but Sister Patty Nunley had sent that in, and that was a mistake, and I apologize for that. So, but let's continue to pray for that request nonetheless. Brother Matthew Carter says to please pray for a co-worker of mine that has to undergo a medical procedure on Tuesday. They're just asking that we would remember that prayer request that John, I believe is the man's name was John Williams, Mr. Williams anyway, a janitor at Happy Valley, just in very, very serious condition. And his, I believe his wife had told somebody here at the church, maybe Sandy Baggett, I'm not for sure exactly who she had told, but she said, I hear that your church believes in prayer and that the Lord moves for him, and I want you to pray for my husband. So that's somebody in a community that knows that God visits your prayers. And we appreciate that, don't we? Amen. Sister Joanne Tessa says to please pray for her daughter, Joanna. Or Joanne, she is going through a lot of tests. Also, please remember my friend Kathy. She has asked us to remember her and her family in prayer, mainly for salvation. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Martha Ann Johnson says, this is a prayer request for Sister Jan Winters, a heart procedure scheduled for in the morning. It will be a very dangerous procedure, and they're asking that we would remember Sister Jan in prayer. She's just a precious member of this assembly, and so let's remember her as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of her as she undergoes this procedure. Brother Joel sent me a text a little while ago. Sister little Lauren Yance is very sick, needs healing in her body, so we want to remember Lauren tonight as we pray. Also, Brother Joel said to remember a Sharon Edwards. I believe Brother Joel works with this lady's husband, and she has multiple brain tumors, and they're just really concerned, and they're asking that we would pray. Also, Brother Gary Herrick called a little while ago. He had Sister Lona at the emergency room, very sick. Don't know exactly what's going on with her, but he asked me to turn in a prayer request on her behalf, so remember her tonight if you would. Sister Deanna Dixon says to please pray for Maggie Davidson and her son Charles. The doctors have not given Charles' daughter, Salisa, long to live, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. Please remember Brother Jim Babb in prayer. He has a severe cough and is very weak, so we want to remember him in prayer tonight as we pray. Victoria Thomas from Georgia called to request prayer for her stepson named Jonathan. He has a history of drug abuse and jail time. His addiction to drugs is preventing him from providing for his children and causing problems between him and his father. Please pray that God will intervene and help the family make the right decision during this difficult time. So they're asking that we would remember that need tonight. This is a testimony. Sister Sharon Sproles from Ney, Ohio, I hope I got that name right, called and said that she and her husband watched our prayer line service, which was back in July. They watched it last night and wanted to testify of how the presence of the Lord filled their home while watching the prayer line and blessed them in a mighty way. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. We thank God for that tonight. Sister Teresa Salyer says, my son Michael's 18-wheeler was struck last week by another 18-wheeler. I want to give praise and honor and glory for God's love and mercy. No one was hurt. It was not his fault. The police officer and the tow driver was surprised that my son's truck did not turn over and his load was still secure. I believe it was the hand of our Lord. So we praise the Lord for watching over Michael. Just pray that the Lord would just be with him during this time. Karen Luna, heart attack. My brother-in-law's mom, so we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Swofford sends that in, so let's remember that need. Brother Terry Horn sends this in to please pray for Wesley Gilbert. He was mowing and got some kind of a sharp object in his eye. Brad said it was bleeding in the eye, and he is at the emergency room. So we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Well, we just got a lot to pray about, don't we? Amen. Certainly want to continue to pray for Sister Margie Longoria, that the Lord would just be mindful of her and her situation, that God would just, that assembly, Brother Homer and Sister Margie and that family, that the Lord would just be with them in a wonderful way. I believe He's able to do that, don't you? Let me make this announcement. The American Red Cross wanted their appreciation made known to everyone who participated in our blood drive on Tuesday. We apologize for any inconvenience the delays may have caused. They were also very complimentary of everyone who helped and said we were a wonderful group of people to work with. Just another rose for you tonight. So praise the Lord. Well, we can be friends. We need to be friends, can't we? Amen. Another announcement. We need volunteers to sign up to help at the Fall Festival on September the 16th. The sign-up sheets are in the library, so remember that. And we'll just look for you to do that. An announcement tonight, Jaden and Dakota want to welcome their grandmother, Susan Harris, to the service tonight. Where would you be? Would you raise your hand? Right, where are you? Right here you are. Give her a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Amen. I believe that takes care of all of our announcements tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We just commit these things unto the Lord. Hey, you know what? We're serving a risen Savior. We're serving a God that cares about your needs. Big or little, whatever you regard them as, my needs little, God don't really care. He does care. My needs so big, He could never take care of it. He specializes in real hard cases. Do you believe He's worthy of all of your praise tonight? Somebody say, I love Him better than everything in this world. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. Brother Rob, would you come tonight? Pray over these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother Rob Weber and his family, don't we?
Love you, baby. Love you too. A lot of prayer requests. I have a testimony too. I had come up for prayer after the prayer service that we had, and I had my shoulder that just would not heal. I think it's just getting older too, but it just would not heal after a few months of using it, and day by day, stronger and stronger. Now that pain's gone away. I'm very thankful, and I want to thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. There's I came up for prayer, and Brother Donnie said, I want you to give a testimony now. Make sure you give a testimony when that comes, when the Lord moves for you. And He did over time, and I thank God for it. The faith is building in the room, and I thank you for being with me. And pray together with me, if you would. A lot of requests. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the grace, Lord, that you bestowed upon us. Thank you for the time that you've given us. Thank you for letting us be in this day, the most wicked age. Lord God, I pray, help us to come together, drive fear from the building. Lord God, the Brother Wesley with the thing in his eye, Lord, the emergency room, how dear it is. That boy is so dear to me, Lord God, and he was there for me at times that I needed him and praying with me. And I thank you, Lord, for the grace that we can come before with confidence and driving fear from the room, Lord, that we can come before you in prayer, Lord, asking for his eyes. I pray, Lord God, and I ask for spiritual eyes for people that need them as well. Father, to whatever capacity that they're ordained to receive, I pray, Lord God, that you be God. Help them, Lord God, be able to see you and to see you in spirit and in truth, Lord. We pray for the ministry, Lord God, that we can strengthen them and support them in the position that they are in. The drive, Lord, that they have to bring this bride into position. And I pray, Lord God, that we'd be worthy and to be counted worthy at that great day. Thank you, Lord, for grace, Lord. It is more than we deserve. We are fall short of the glory of God, but you give us two hands to raise us up, Lord God, as we go ahead and follow you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for these prayer requests that are chances for you to manifest yourself on the scene. Thank you, Lord, for peace that passes understanding, that comfort in our hearts on a Wednesday night to come before you and be in your presence, Lord. There's nothing like it. And we're thankful, Lord, for being able to see you so clearly in this day. It's more than we deserve, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. I know Brother Terry and I know they're glad to have Brother Brad Horn in the service with us tonight. He and Sister Alice, I know you're glad to have him here. Brad, good to see you, buddy. God bless you. Glad to have you in the service. Got a couple of songs for you tonight. We're going to be going into that. But before we do that, let's sing a song tonight. We wore this out, but it's still the truth anyway. I believe He's coming back just like He said. Amongst all the doubters, amongst all the naysayers, amongst all the fighters. Hey, I love this message more right now than I ever loved it in my life. It means more to me. You know why? Because this message ain't Brother Branham. This message is Christ. This message is Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm on the winning team. Are you glad about it tonight? Somebody say, I am a winner. Somebody say, I'm glad to be a winner. Somebody say, second place is the first loser. We're winners tonight. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart.
Hey, everybody.
High upon a mountain, from where He ascended, the angel of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
One that you see leaving in like manners coming back just like He said.
Well, you're just singing so good tonight. I don't know what to do with you. Bless your heart. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We do have a couple of songs. Little Jaden, she's been trying to sing this song for about 2 months, and tonight is her turn. Come on, Jaden, and sing for us tonight. Jaden Harmon give her a nice hand tonight as she sings. Brother Chuck, where's Brother Chuck at? Is he in the room? Brother Chuck Dixon, come on to the platform. Sister Tamika, I'm going to get you, the Lord willing, Saturday night or Sunday morning. You bear with me. We appreciate these singers, don't we? Give them one more hand tonight.
Thank you. Jesus saved me. And I know what Jesus did for me. Now I have seen the Lord see sick soul had life anew. He made pure and whole. And I have felt it loose the chains of sin and set my spirit free. And I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch. When my Jesus saved me, and I know what Jesus did for me, and the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. What Jesus did for me, for
me. Praise the Lord. We certainly appreciate your songs tonight, don't we? Amen. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Brother Darrell's going to come and bring us the word of the Lord tonight. How many of you enjoyed the last time Brother Darrell spoke here? Beautiful branch of the Lord. Just a tremendous, tremendous message. And I know the Lord is going to give us something good tonight. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We are a beautiful branch of the Lord. Not to the world, but in His eyes, we're the apple of His eye. Are you glad about it tonight? Let's sing this little chorus as Brother Darrell Ward comes tonight. I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. Are you glad you done crossed over? I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Oh, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I just want to say for you all, to this young man right here, we love you, baby.
Amen.
And we're proud of you.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Yes, hallelujah.
You know, I was listening to Brother Chuck's song and that he was singing. And I got to thinking about way back in December the 21st, 1981. It was on a Sunday afternoon around 2 o'clock in an old antique store in Jonesboro, Tennessee. And I was listening to those words and I got to remembering that day The night before, I'd been out late doing things I shouldn't be doing. That Sunday afternoon, I was there by myself. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. I knew it was Him because I felt Him when I was a boy. And the Lord spoke to me that afternoon. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was just as real as my voice. He said, if you go out that door, I'll never call you again. And there I knelt on the floor of that old antique store by myself. Hadn't been to church in years. I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. And I told the Lord that I would go wherever He would lead me. But I've tried to keep that promise. I used to come in from meetings. Sometimes I'd be tired and get weary. I used to drive down by that old store, pull into the parking lot and sit because that was where I was born. And I would sit there and remember that day. And a few years ago, I got busy. It'd been a while, and I thought, I think I'll go by the old birthplace. I drove down there, and it was gone. A big supermarket was there with a big old paved parking lot. And I don't mind to tell you, hurt my feelings just a little bit. But then I thought, that's right. They can tear down the building. They can pave the parking lot, but they can never take that experience out of my heart. The day that the Lord Jesus saved me. You remember that day? Do you remember that day that He done that for you? We could spend all night and just take turns and tell Him. And then He was singing about the touch. And I was just thinking of when I was in New Mexico, and my back had went out on me. I tell you, when you hurt that bad, there's only one place you want to be. That's at home. But I was so far from home, I thought, how can I even get home? I can't even get on an airplane. And I went to that meeting. Sister Cindy Hunt and Brother David was in that meeting. And it was all I could do to get to the pulpit. I was hurting so bad. Every step was pain just shooting down my legs. And this hip was like 4 inches higher than my other one. It was just weighted up like this in the air. And I went to that pulpit and I turned around and Brother Chuck made me think about it. When he's talking about, I felt His hand. And that's the way it was. I was standing there and I thought the song leader had come up and put His hand on my back because my mic wasn't on or something. And so I just felt this hand touch me on the back and I turned to see who it was and there was nobody there. And I thought, that's strange. And then all it was just like warm, oh God. It was just like warm water. It just run down my legs and the pain was gone. He's wonderful, friend. You remember the day He does those things for us. What a mighty God we serve tonight. Do you love Him? Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Luke. We want to read from Luke chapter 1. And you know, I've just kind of put some things together. Thank you, Brother Louis. I put some things together that we've been looking at for the last few months. And so maybe some of this you're going to hear. You've heard it before, and I trust it won't bother you to hear it again. But we just want to put some of these things together and bring a few thoughts out of it, and we trust it to be a blessing to you. But we want to read from Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And this is, like I said, just a kind of a compilation of some of the things we've been looking at in the last few months on the field. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Amen. We can say amen to that. Thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call His name Jesus. And He shall be great, and He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, And of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's the kingdom I want to belong to. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And we know what that is. Can you say amen to that? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Not thy emotion, not sensation, not feelings, not goosebumps, but according to thy word. Heavens and earth shall pass away, yet the word of God shall never fail. Amen. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Amen. Do you know why the angel left? Because she received his message. And he accomplished what he was sent to do. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this evening on it was me. It was me. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that old building down in Jonesboro. Thank you, Lord, for this place here on the hillside. And I came here when I was a little boy and my feet wouldn't touch the floor. There in the old Happy Valley, Lord. I remember the day the message came and broke, Father, on a Sunday morning to the congregation. Lord, how we thank you for these wonderful memories of your presence that has been with us. And Lord, I'm so glad that we don't just have memories, but we believe right now today you're doing the same thing you've always done. And we believe, Lord, if there is a tomorrow, you will continue, for you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, bless your children tonight. Father, thank you for the wonderful testimonies of the healings that continue to come in, Father. For Lord, we believe this is the hour of the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. Lord, we believe there'll be more and more, and our faith will raise higher and higher until our very bodies will change, Lord. Father, we are looking for that rapture. We believe it lays just ahead. Bless your children tonight, Father. Lord, may you just come as we surrender ourselves to you and speak to the hearts of your people. That, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Bless Brother Donnie, Lord. Bless Brother David tonight. Different ones, Lord, preach in different places, Father. Just bless them, Father, and be with them, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I found this quote, and I thought it was interesting the way Brother Branham said this. He said, now, when Israel began to cry for their deliverance, and God began to hear, and when they began to cry, then God began to hear, and he provided a way of escape. He sent Moses to them. Now, Moses came as a direct result of their crying for deliverance. They cried for deliverance. God heard them, and he sent Moses because they cried for deliverance. And he said, this is the point I want you to understand. He said, how strange it was that after crying for deliverance, and when deliverance was brought to them, they failed to recognize it and refused it and had to suffer 40 years more. So we see the consequences of failing to recognize your hour, your day, and the word for your day. Because they failed to recognize the direct result of their crying for deliverance, God answered the cry and sent the deliverer. But they failed to recognize it. And 40 more years,
It was 40 more years before they realized the deliverance that they had sought had been with them the whole time. So here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Is that there is a consequences of failing to recognize what God is doing for you. Then if that's true, if we fail to recognize that God's doing something for us, and we fail to recognize it, and there would be a consequences, then what would it be if God was to do something for us, and we was to recognize, it's me. Do you see what I'm saying tonight? Because you see, I want you to understand that no matter how great the revelation is, no matter how rich the anointing would be, no matter how great the gift would be that God would send to you, if you don't recognize that it's for you, it will do you no good. For God had sent this to Israel, and yet they failed to recognize it, so they got no benefits. All they got was 40 more years. So no matter how rich the anointing is, no matter how great the promise is for the hour in which we're living in, and the anointing that's released by the opening of the word to pour out the blessings of God, if we don't recognize it, if we don't realize it, it's me. The word is speaking to me. It'll do us no good. You see, we're living in the days when identification is required. It's required. It's not, well, I don't have any, but that'll be okay. No, we're living in the day, if you don't have identification, you ain't getting on no airplane. So we're living in an hour, you must have identification. I remember a few years ago out in Arizona, and I was staying over to preach, and the girls had been out there with me, and they were flying back on Saturday. And so I was going to preach for Brother Ron Peterson on Sunday and fly home on Monday. And so I took Cheryl and the girls to the airport. And I just, that we was using their passports for IDs. It's one of the best IDs you can have. And so we had took our passports with us. And so we were running a little bit late because I've got girls. Amen. I told the brother one time I was preaching at Arkansas, I said, Moses got 2 million people out of Egypt. I can't get 3 women out of a hotel room. So anyway, we was running late, so I just, y'all pray for me. I'll hear about that. But anyway, we grabbed the passport. So when we got to the airport, guess what? I had Cheryl's, I had Allison's, and I had mine. No Jessica's. And so we was trying to go through her purse and trying to go through Cheryl's purse to try to find some identification so that Jessica can say, it's me. This ticket belongs to me. It's my ticket. Here's the proof. This is who I am. Amen. Hallelujah. So then we see then that we're living in an hour of identification. But not only is that in the natural, but it's in the spiritual. We must have a scriptural, spiritual identification. Now, if we are the bride of Jesus Christ and He is the Word, then His bride must also be the Word. Then the only true identification that we can ever have, it would have to be a Word-based identification. But there's a Word body, there must be a Word frame for that body to sit on. Amen. So then we understand our true identification is not our birth pattern. Our true identification is not our genetics that we can trace back through a natural lineage. But our true identification of who we really are. There's only one place you'll ever find that. That's in the Word of God. So that we can look into the Word of God and find out most assuredly who we are. That we can look into the Word and say, it's me. You see, the prophet preached the message, perfect faith. And he said in the message, perfect faith, he said, now faith is based on forgiveness. Before you can ever have faith in the Word, you must first believe that the Word is for you. You see, your individual revival is when you realize or you recognize the Word is speaking to you. But let me say that again. Your personal revival is when you come to the understanding that what you're reading in the Word is not just talking about Brother Donnie. It's not just talking about Brother Branham. It's not just talking about Brother Biscoe. It's talking about you. That will stir something in your heart when you realize it's me. Amen. You see, because why? It's Christ in His church reconciling the people to God. Amen. He promised He would do it. It's written, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He said, do you believe that? And the congregation says, amen. And Brother Brandon said, I believe it with all my heart. He's just waiting now. Listen to this quote. He's just waiting now to be called on the scene. The only thing that can call Him on the scene, the only thing that can call Him on the scene is for us to awaken Him in ourselves. To awaken the Christ that's in you. That's the only way I can call Him on the scene is to awaken the Word that's in me. That's a quote. That's what the prophet said. The only way. Not a fast drum. Not a fast song. Not a congregational. Though those things are fine. They're needful. They've got their place. But it goes back to the Word. Everything must go back to the foundation of the Word. Amen. It's for us to awaken Him. Could it be that He's sleeping in me? I've let Him go to sleep. Because I've let my problems get bigger than my Christ. I've let my storm get bigger than my boat. Come on, somebody. We must awaken Him in ourselves to call Him on the scene. Now remember, you know, you've heard this before. You've heard many people preach it. But Brother Branham talked about the Welch revival. And how a bunch of men went to the United States to go over to see that revival. And they were walking around. They didn't know where it was at. And they saw a policeman. Now, why did they go to that policeman? I want you to notice they did not go to him because he was a policeman. Though you think it would be if they wanted directions, they would go to a policeman. But they didn't go to him because he was a policeman. They went to him because he was whistling a hymn. Big difference. They went to him because they heard him whistling Amazing Grace or Down at the Cross or an old gospel hymn. And they go up to him and they said, sir, we've came all the way from America. We're so excited to see this revival. Can you tell us, sir, where is this revival being held? Amen. He never said, go two blocks to the gas station, make a right, turn left at that corner, you'll find the library, it's behind it. He never said, plug this into your Google Maps. He never gave them an address. But you know what he said? He took his billy stick and he tapped it on his chest and he said, you're looking at it. You want to find the Welch revival? You have arrived. It's me. Oh, hallelujah. I am the Welch revival. Amen. If we can only understand, if we can only grab that in the reality that the prophet gave it to us, that we are the reflection of Jesus Christ. We are the reflection of Jesus Christ. His Word made manifest. You are the reflection of His Word. Where is the Welch revival, sir? What building is it in? It's me. It's me. Sir, it's in my heart. He was the Welch revival. And today the church ought to be Jesus Christ in action. Not just a bunch of quoters. Not just a bunch of quoters. More than a picture, more than a belt buckle, more than a Malachi 4 license plate. Though there's nothing wrong with that. But more than just that. Church of Jesus Christ today. Not just a bunch of quoters, but the living Word. Living in the people. You see, God don't need my ability. God don't need my education. All God needs is my skin. Hallelujah. God wants me to die out to myself that He can kenosis, empty Himself into me. All God was, He poured into Christ. But it don't stop there. All Christ was, He poured into His church. Then we should be the manifestation of the life of Jesus Christ in action. Today. Not Sunday. Today. What are you saying, Brother Darrell? This. The branch. Writing another book of Acts. That's what we ought to be. Because He said, if that vine ever puts forth another branch, they will write another book of Acts behind it. And He said that would be in the hour when Hosea said, the immorality of the women, and seven women would grab a hold of every man's coattail. He said, in that hour, there will be the branch of the Lord. And God said, it will be beautiful. This day, this hour. Hallelujah. By revelation we stay it tonight. Not by arrogance, but in the humility of the Spirit, in the decency of holiness, we say it's me. He was so full of the Welch revival. He was the Welch revival. And we ought to be so full of Christ till we reflect Him in the power of His word that's allotted for us. This day. Amen. Don't worry about the soothsayers. Don't worry about all the Facebook. Don't worry about all that stuff. They're always going to be there. That opposition was there when He was here, and it'll be here when we're here. Amen. They think they want us gone. They think we're the problem with America. But I promise you, when we leave, they would to God we was back. You just remember that. You just remember that. The only thing holding this nation together right now, it ain't the Democrats or the Republicans. They're working for the same guy. Come on, somebody. The only thing holding this nation together right now is you. You can stand there and say, it's me. I'm here. I serve. That's why this nation is still floating, because God's still using us to get the word out. But when that last seat comes in, God will close the book. Amen. And we'll take our journey. Glory to God, I'm about to get excited. Amen. We're supposed to be the light of this age. Do you believe that? The Bible said in evening time there shall be light. Who is it? It's me. So are you arrogant? No, I'm not arrogant. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not even saying that arrogantly. God knows I'm not. But I'm saying it by revelation. I'm saying it by faith. If Wesley was the light of his day, and Luther was the light of his day, and Pentecost with the restoration of the gifts was the light of their day, whose light is it now? Hallelujah. Brother Bram said, we're further up the road now. We're coming into the bride, the called out, the elected. The bride, the called out, the elected. Remember, if you are, you're just like that officer. If you're the bride, if you're the called out, if you are the elect, if you are, if that's who you are, then you're just like that officer. You can say, it's in me. Where's the bride's revival? You're looking at it. You see, the bride's revival is the opening of the word. And the opening of the word, when that seals are loosed and the word comes open. The prophet of God said the full word of God was born into manifestation. Then that makes it exactly like it was when Jesus was on the earth. He was the fullness of the word. And now the bride, hallelujah, is expressing the fullness of His word. Amen. Making Him the same right now. Oh, if somebody come through that door tonight dragging a cross with a white robe, people would scream, but that's not Jesus. He never said He would come like that. He's already done that. You say, you want to see me? You must see me in my bride. That's where I'll be. Man, the opening of the word, it stirs her. Not only do you see who Brother Branham is, we see who we are. We see our position. We see our hour. We see that I'm not just part of the move. I am the move. She is the move. Come on, friends. Right. Amen. You see, she catches the revelation.
Yes.
And she declares, it's me.
Amen.
Yeah. Huh? Joshua said, whose scarlet thread's that hanging in the window? Rahab said, it's me. Oh, God. You see, the seven church ages, it's God dealing with the church. This is the last stage. Can you say amen to that? Then whatever God's going to do, He must do now. When the church age ends, it's the fullness of the Gentile dispensation. When the church ages are over, He will never call another Gentile. Those who are filthy will be filthy still. Those who are righteous will be righteous still. When at the consummation of the church ages, then if God's going to do something in this hour, He must do it with us. Hallelujah. Well, now, Brother Darrell, my son, he's the church of tomorrow. No, I beg your pardon. He is not the church of tomorrow. These young boys sitting right here in the pew, they are not the church of tomorrow. Well, they may be if there is a tomorrow, but they're the church of right now. We have no promise of tomorrow. This is our hour. This is our time. You see, the thing of it is, where so many people are lacking, we can be such legal eagles. And I do know there's a standard of holiness. Do not misunderstand me. And it's a shame we've let it slip. There's a standard of decent dressing and standard of the way men should dress and act, and we've let it slip. But that's another message for another time. But you see, the key of it is, is not to live this message by a ruler, but the key of it is just fall in love with Jesus. Not just see how much we can know, though we should study. Not just see how much we can quote, though we should be able to quote it. Amen. But the key of it is how much can we love?
That's it.
You see, if you love right, everything else will fall into place.
Amen.
Because love produces confidence, and confidence produces trust. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you trust in what the Word is saying to you. Oh God. When you've got confidence that the Word is speaking to you, and what it's saying to you is true. You see, where there's a lack of desire to forgive, you find there's a lack of love. People do things and say things to one another, and they have no remorse because they have no love. And because there's no love, there's no forgiveness. And then you find where there's no forgiveness, there is no faith. Because faith is based on forgiveness. The prophet said in the last days that the love would be so far away that the only love you'll find will be among the elect. That's the only love there would be left, will be among the elect. As the song says, they will know that we are Christians, not by our belt buckle, but by our love. To love those who despitefully use you. To love those who would kill you if they had the opportunity. We need work. I need work. Huh? Especially when you drive down Tennessee Highway I-40. You realize you need work. But we're going to get there. Because He said we would. See, faith is based on forgiveness. Where there is love, there is forgiveness. Jesus expressed that so well on the cross. When they had beat Him, until he had been beaten more than any man. His face, the Bible said, was marred more than any man's face had ever been marred. His head was twice its normal size. His eyes were swollen shut. Every time he spoke, blood splattered out of his mouth. He was bleeding out of his mouth, bleeding out of his face, bleeding out of his body, bleeding out of his everywhere. Blood was, he said, I am poured out like water. And they hung him there on that cross. And no doubt the flies were blowing on the blood as it was drying on his body. But he looked upon those with new and oh God, think of it. He looked upon those who had beat him like that. They had beat him unmercifully. And Jesus looked at them with what little vision he had through his swollen eyes. He pushed up on the cross and knew what he said. Father, forgive them. Why did he say that? Because he loved them. Oh God. Look at Joseph, his brothers threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. Look at all he endured. And when they got caught up with him, they said, oh God, Joseph's going to kill us now. This is it. We're going to get paid back. He's going to make us pay back. He's got that high position now. He has the authority. He can really stick it to us. They just knew they was going to have it. And Joseph dismissed his wife. And there he stood with his brothers and said, this is it. It's going to be swift. It's going to be just. But you know what he said? He looked at them and he forgave them because he loved them. The Bible says, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He reached down in the muck, in the mess of my life, and he lifted me up. He loved me when I was unlovable. He forgave me when I should have been unforgivable. Think of it. Think of it. He passed over millions to bring this message to you. Because he loves you. You see, if he loved me enough to die for us, if he loved us enough to die for us, then my brother, my sister, he loved us enough to heal us. He loved us enough to lead us. He loved us enough to rapture us. Real, genuine love produces confidence that he's forgiven us. He has forgiven me. Oh God. In spite of my mistakes. In spite of my failures. Amen. He loved me anyhow. You mean back there, way back there in 1981? No. I'm talking about this week, just like you. When we stump our toe, when we mess up, yet he loves us anyhow. And that produces faith. If he loves me enough to forgive me, he'll take care of me. Then I can have confidence. I can have faith in what the Word says I am. By the blood of Jesus. That's it, friends. It's not what I can do myself. It's what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Like that little chicken. You think Brother Bram just told those stories to be telling them? They had meanings. That little chicken tried, that little eagle, he tried his best to be a chicken. He tried to walk like him, cluck like him, roost like him. He tried his best. They said, you're the funniest looking chicken I've ever seen. He said, I don't care if I'm funny or not, I'm still a chicken. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Or whatever, you know. But one day he was out there in the middle of that barnyard, and Mama remembered she had Junior. I've got one down there somewhere. And she flew over the barnyard when she began to fly. And she let out the scream of an eagle. Everything that wasn't an eagle ran. But why did Junior, something about the deep, begin to call unto the deep? And Junior didn't run. He began to look up. And when he began to look up, he saw the head. He saw the wings. He saw the feet. And he looked at himself. And he looked up. And he looked at himself. And he looked up. And he said, that's me. That's me. That's who I am. I'm not the son of Mary Jo and James Obert Ward. I'm an attribute of God. You see, Jesus had perfect faith because he relied on what he was. He knew he was loved by the Father. He relied in knowing he was the Word. And he had faith in the God who made him. the Word. He knew what he was. Therefore, he relied upon what God made him. Now, think about that for a minute. Don't just leave that with Jesus. But just bring it down into yourself just a little bit. And let these words become your words.
Yes.
He knew what he was. Therefore, he relied upon what God made him.
Amen.
What did God make us? Believers.
Amen.
The bride of Jesus Christ. I didn't make myself that. He chose me.
Amen.
That's what he made me. He predestinated me to be that. He relied upon what God had made him. He recognized, listen, now these were quotes what Reverend said about Jesus and his perfect faith. He relied upon what God had made him. He recognized himself in the written word.
Amen.
Now he went into the temple on the seventh day as it was his custom, and the priest handed him a book, and he turned over to the book of Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He hath anointed me to do these things, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, because the rest of that verse belongs to you. When he would do that in the day of the bride. He closed the book, he handed it back to the priest, and the Bible said the eyes of all the people was upon him. And he began to say, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Now, if you'll allow me to translate that into hillbilly so that we can understand it, because I'm a hillbilly. He said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." But to give the translation into hillbilly, what he really said was, "It's me." Oh, hallelujah. It's me. I am who Isaiah was speaking of. Isaiah was speaking of me. This day, the words of Isaiah is fulfilled in your ears. He relied in knowing he was the Word, and he had faith in the God who made him the Word. Then if that's true for the bridegroom, and the same Word speaks for the bridegroom, speaks for the bride, then can't we rely upon what God made us? As believers. The Word says a believer shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. The Bible said we're believers because we believe. Huh? Why do you call yourself believers? Because we believe. Well, why do you believe? Because we're believers. Well, I know you're believers, but why are you believers? We're believers because we believe. But why do you believe? Because we're believers. That's what believers do. Pretty simple, ain't it? It's just simple. Amen. Amen. See, he had faith in what he was. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up." Now, why did he say that? He said that because the Word said that. And he knew he was that Word manifested. He knew that when David said, "I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell," Jesus knew David was not talking about himself, because David saw corruption. Therefore, Jesus knew that David was prophesying of him. And he said, "It's me, I am, who David was prophesying of." David, under inspiration, was speaking of the Holy One. Jesus knew he was the fulfillment of that. Therefore, he said, "I will not see corruption.
Amen.
Lay me in a tomb, but I'll rise again." Oh, hallelujah. You see, he went to Calvary believing, if I lay my life down, the Word says he'll raise me up again. He went to Calvary relying on what the Word said would take place. He went to Calvary relying upon what the Word said would take place. Then when we lay our hands on the sick, Brother West, and pray for the sick, it's not my responsibility to heal them. The Bible said I would do that. Then if I do what the Word says, we can expect what the Word says will happen. And the Word says we can expect that's going to be the outcome. The believer shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the outcome of the believer. That's what believers do. We don't have to pump it up. We don't have to work it up. We just lay our hands on the sick and they recover, because that's what the Word says.
Amen.
Amen. He understood his position. He understood his position because he knew what the scripture said about this. If he had faith in what he was, because the word said he was that, and he proved he was that, then can't we as believers rely upon what the word says we are?
Amen.
Oh God, help us, Lord. Let that quicken to us that we can recognize ourselves in the scriptures. And we can look and say, it's me. See, Brother Barham told the story several different times. He told the story, and I've told it here before. Brother Donnie's, Brother Dever, a lot of brothers have told the story about the little boy in the mirror.
Yeah. All right.
We all remember the story. Huh? But I got to looking at that story, and I thought it was interesting. The last three times that I found Brother Branham mentioned that story. Now, I don't think to come to Brother Branham and say, you know, Brother Branham, I know you try to save money and you try to keep your expenses low and you've been leaving about 15, 20, sometimes 25 minutes on the tape. Is there any story you could tell and take up 15 or 20 minutes of tape and then we'll only have 5 minutes left? Yeah, I think I could find a story, you know, something I heard when I was a boy, and I'll put a story on it. I don't believe that. But I believe when he was telling these stories, when he was preaching the word, he was trying to get us to understand something. The story of the eagle. He was trying to get us to understand, you're not a chicken, you're an eagle. You always were an eagle. I didn't come to mix up a doctrine. I come to straighten one out, to get away from this fear and scare that you don't know who you are. You're not going to be. You are now sons and daughters of God. You always were sons and daughters of God. He couldn't tell that, so I was looking. The last three times that I found that Brother Branham told this story was 63 in a message called Identification.
Amen.
Then he told it again in 64 in a message called Things That Are To Be. And then the last time that I found Brother Branham mentioned it was in 1965 in a message titled Leadership. Now, you know the story. The little boy goes, Brother Branham, one place he says it was his grandmother's house, and another place he says it was his aunt's house. I mean, he goes down to the story, you know, the details of the story, but the meaning of the story is what we really want to understand anyhow. So the boy goes down to the house. He's never seen a mirror before, and he kind of gets bored, you know, and he goes in there playing in the house, and he shuts the door, and when he does, all of a sudden, there's a little boy. Well, this, you know, his mom and his grandma or his aunt, whoever it was, you know, they're in the house. They come to see what the noise was, so they were standing back, and they were watching. And the little boy waved at the boy, and the boy waved back.
Amen.
The little boy messed with his hair, and the boy messed with his hair.
Yeah.
And he jumped out of the mirror, and he jumped back, and the boy jumped back.
Yeah. Amen.
So he made a funny face. And the boy made a funny face.
Yeah. Right.
And he got closer. And closer because it attracted his attention. So he began to draw closer to the mirror. And he got closer and closer. And he touched it.
Yeah.
And when he touched it, the realization struck him.
That's it.
And he said, why, Mama, it's me.
Oh, yeah.
It's me. And Brother Bev said, that's what we want to look at tonight. I want you to look at me and I want you to look at yourself. As we look into God's great mirror, the mirror of His Word, let's be able to identify ourselves with some that we're going to speak about. Some of the characters, listen to this quote now. Some of the characters at other times, I want to see myself in God's looking glass. Because if anything will show you where you're standing, it's this book. I'm sure tonight we ought to find ourselves somewhere in some character of the Bible. Now listen to the rest of this quote. So by doing that, we would know the outcome of that character, and then we would know what our outcome would be. In other words, we would be the mirror of that character. If we can find ourselves in some character in the Bible and see how God dealt with them and see how God moved with them and to see their outcome, then we could see what our outcome would be. By knowing their outcome, we would know our outcome. So I thought about that. I thought, now, if that's true, somewhere in the message, we should be able to find that. So I got to look and then I come across a very interesting thing. I come across the black woman in Memphis. whose boy got out of and got social disease and was dying of syphilis, and he's laying on the bed. And she got down to pray, and she said, "Lord, if I be like that Shunammite woman, if I be like that Shunammite woman, then where's your prophet?" Now she identified herself with the character in the Bible. And she said, "If I be like her, where is your prophet?" And somewhere Brother Brandon was flying and they grounded the airplane, put him up in the Peabody Hotel. He goes out to mail the postcard. The Spirit of God says, "Turn around, start walking." And he finds himself in a black neighborhood. He's singing, "I'm one of them, I'm one of them." And as he passes by the gate, Auntie's standing there. That's what they called him in that day. Auntie was standing there with her back was wet from the dew. Been out there since 3 o'clock in the morning. And the prophet stopped singing, tipped his hat to her, and said, "Morning." And she said, "Morning, Parson." And he said, "How'd you know I was a preacher?" And she said, "I know she's coming." Now, for those who preach that God tells his prophets, God only tells his prophets. And he only speaks to his prophets. Who told her that? Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, she said, "Where's your satchel? You're supposed to have a satchel with you." He said, "I left it in the room." So who knew more about what was happening? The prophet or her? Come on, somebody. When she identified herself in the Bible like the Shunammite woman, God sent Elijah to her. Amen. And that outcome was her outcome, because you know the rest of the story. Brother Brennan prayed for me. He said, "Mama, it's getting light in the room." Amen. Oh my, do you love him? Yes, God said in Jeremiah, said, "I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You see, God has an expected end for us to bring us to our final outcome. You see, the prophet said, if you were in his thinking at the beginning, you were in his thinking at the beginning if you've got eternal life. Anybody here like that this evening? How many's got eternal life? Then if you've got eternal life, guess where you was? You was in his thinking at the beginning. There's only one form of eternal life. Eternal life had no beginning and it has no ending. So if you have eternal life, you are an attribute of God's thinking before there was anything but him. And remember, your eyes, oh God, your stature, whatever you was, you were in his thinking at the beginning. And the only thing that you are is the expression. After he thought it, he spoke it, and here you are. So what are you? You are the spoken word, thoughts of God expressed for the hour that you're living in. If you can catch that revelation, you can say, "It's me." If it isn't, if he wasn't in his thinking, there's no way at all for you to ever be there. He's the one that gives eternal life. And you were in his thinking, your name and all. And he, by foreknowledge, ordained you to see this. He ordained me to see this. And you that was not ordained will never see it. So just be kind to him. You don't have to argue. You don't have to argue, fuss, get all mad on Facebook. You don't have to do that. If it's not for them, it's not for them. You know why I don't go to chess matches? Because it ain't for me. I couldn't have a clue who knights who or what. I don't know none of that stuff. I try to play it like checkers. That's true. It means nothing to me. So if I leave something at your house, don't ever bring it to a chess mat to give it back to me, because I won't be there. Because that ain't who I am. It has nothing to do with me. You understand what I'm saying, friends? It has nothing to do with them. That's why they can't stay. That's why they must go. Or they might hang on for a while. But it is not for them. Just love them. Just be good to them. Just be kind to them. And thank God that your eyes can see your hour and your day. Because I tell you, it's only by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. Remember, he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the hour is here. Won't you believe him? Won't you give your life to him? The hour is here for what, Brother Branham? The hour is here to see this. This was a previously hidden mystery. This was fog to us. We didn't understand it. But don't you understand? The word has become more plainer and more plainer and more plainer. Why? It is the hour. You see, the word mirror reveals to us our word image. Like the little boy, we say, it's me.
Amen.
That moment that you recognize yourself, that moment that you see yourself in the vision. Now think about that just a minute. Think about that. The moment that you catch the realization that he is talking about me. When you realize that God had a dream, God had a vision, God had a plan, whatever word you want to use, God had it. And when you begin to realize, I am a part of God's plan. You say, Brother Darrell, is that possible? Do you think it's possible that someone could actually see themselves in the vision? Is that possible? Could that be possible that someone could actually see a vision and see themselves? Now think of that. That God would have a dream, or God would have a vision, or God would have a plan, and come down at the end time, tear off the seals, open the mysteries, and reveal to you, you as a part of it, the whole time. Can you imagine that moment in time when you realize I'm a part of the vision? You're the expression. You're the thought that God thought. You are a part of the vision. Now listen. Listen to this. Prayer line 1953. The woman seems to be going from me. She's in a hospital or a doctor's office or a hospital room or something. She's been examined and they're pressing on her side. It's on her left side, and there's a middle-aged man, and it's a tumor. It's in the left side of the woman. There's two doctors, and they're at one says it's to be operated on. Another says it can't be operated on. That's why I trust God more than I trust doctors. One said it can't. The other said it must. Amen. I'm glad God's word is yay, yay, and nay, nay. Amen. One says to be operated on, the other says it can't be operated. Is that the truth? Was that description exactly? I just see something moving. I see something moving. She's, you've been prayed for before in a meeting, an evangelistic meeting. There's a man that's kind of dark-headed, thin hair. Why? It was me. I prayed for you. You had a tumor in the brain and you were healed. I see a light flash around you. Oh God. Yeah. Amen. He wasn't making that stuff up. He saw it when it happened there that day. And when he saw the vision again, he saw the light flash again. Oh God. You were healed with a tumor in the brain. You're not from this city. You're from Illinois. Is that right? Amen. Here's a different one. Divine Healing 54. I trust that he will give you the desire of your heart. Knowing you're a Christian, you're not a critic. You're a firm believer in what I'm talking about. And in that way, I can help you. The first thing, you're a woman suffering with a woman's trouble, a female condition. You may not know this. Yes, yes, you do. You do know it. You have trouble in your head, which is cancer. And it's on the brain. But God will make you well. I see you sometimes sitting, just holding your hands like this. You've been in another meeting somewhere. You was holding yourself breathless. It was something taking place at a platform. Why? It's me. It was Portland, Oregon, when the maniac was condemned. I see him fall on the floor now and roll. Oh, God. You're healed, sister. Go home and be made well in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw himself in the vision. He said, it's me. I'm the one that prayed for you. You remember the vision of the caribou with the 42-inch rack?
Yes, sir.
Remember that vision? And Brother Bev said there's some young boys' hands, and there would be a man there with a green checkered shirt, and we went up there in British Columbia to hunt. He said, this looks like the area. I talked to Brother Eddie Biscoe this week. I was asking about this vision. I said, Brother Eddie, could you tell me about this vision? And he began to tell me. He said, you know, Brother Darrell, Brother Branham called me a month before we went on the hunt. A month before the hunt. Brother Branham called me and was telling me about the vision that he had, and that part of the country looked like that vision may be fulfilled. He said, but Brother Darrell, he was telling me that. I had no idea. It was just a vision. He said, we went out that morning. I was crossing a log. Just to cut it short, we're losing time. He said, I slipped and fell into a creek. He said, I had green checkered shirt, but I told my wife to throw it away. He said, it's torn a couple places. He said, I didn't want to wear it. I said, throw it away. He said, I fell in. I got wet. I went and put on the shirt. He said, I wore the shirt all day long. I knew it was green checkered, but I never thought a thing about it. So here he was, putting on a shirt in his tent. It was green checkered. Come out, maybe got him a cup of coffee at the campfire before he headed out again. Wore it all day long. Talking, laughing, praying over lunch. Wearing the shirt, and the whole time, the vision was being played out. Right. Brother Branham shoots the caribou. They measure it 42-inch horns. Everybody in the camp said nobody had a shirt like that. Brother Branham said perhaps it'll be somewhere else then, but the vision will be. He said perhaps it'll be somewhere else. He went out there, he killed the caribou, 42 inches. Brother Branham said, now somebody should have on a green checkered shirt. He said, why, Brother Eddie? Yeah. Yeah. And Brother Eddie said, Brother Branham, I didn't know. Amen. But that moment in time, that moment, I said, Brother, how did you feel when you realized I'm a part of the vision? I'm the green checkered shirt. I am the green checkered shirt. That's me. That's who I am. I'm not the measuring tape. I'm not the little boy's hands. That was somebody else. Oh, God. I'm not the one that shot it. That was somebody else. But I am my part of the vision. My part of the vision is I am that green checkered shirt. You see, you may never be the pastor, but you've got a part of the vision, too. Everybody's got a part they must play. You've got to find yourself in the vision, and you've got to say, by faith, it is me. Now let me hurry. Our scripture reading. You know, Brother Branham, nobody can dramatize like Brother Branham. And Brother Branham relaying this story out in a meeting. Now the day before this event that we read about in the scriptures took place, Brother Branham just talks. He talks and just starts dramatizing. And he said Joseph and Mary went to church that morning. They were sitting on the porch after Sunday dinner, and they was talking. And Joseph said, oh, Mary, wasn't that a wonderful service this morning? And my goodness, didn't that rabbi certainly bring the word of God to us? And they were just talking, you know. Sure. And Mary's sitting there because they were to be married. And, you know, the prophet said, Mary said, you know, Joseph, dear, I think it would be good if we just read a few scriptures. He said, well, Mary, that's a wonderful idea. He said, go in there and find us something to read. Now, the prophet of God said in that day, of course, the Bible was in scrolls. Had a scroll of Isaiah, a scroll of Jeremiah. They was rolled up in wood. You've seen the scrolls. And they had like a waste-basket-like thing, and they would just stick these scrolls down in it. So you would go in there, and you would pull out the scroll of Jeremiah or the scroll of Isaiah. And so Mary goes in there. Now, it wasn't by chance, because I believe the footsteps of a good man is ordered of the Lord. She goes in there and pulls out the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and she brings it out to Joseph. He opens the scroll, and he begins to read. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And Mary was listening. She was listening to that word. And when he got done reading, Mary, in all her innocence, she said, Joseph, what is that prophet talking about? A virgin shall conceive. What does he mean by that? And Joseph, being an honest man, he looked right at her. And he said, I don't know. I don't know what the prophet's talking about, Mary. But there's one thing I do know. If God said it, God is able to keep that which he said. You see, my brother, my sister, I don't have to be a lot of people on Facebook. I don't have to try to figure it out. I don't have to try to find a newspaper or some kind of article to vindicate it as science proof. I'm not that kind of guy. I simply believe it because God said so. Amen. That's why I believe it. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to figure it out. I believe it by faith. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Listen to me. I don't know how God opens blinded eyes. All I know is one day, just to sit on my lap, she couldn't see me for nothing. And the next day, she could see. How God done it, I don't know. I don't know how he done it. I'm just glad that he done it. Amen. I don't know how he got Jessica out of that wheelchair. I don't know. One day she's in a wheelchair, had no control over her body. The next day she's walking on us. I don't know. I don't know how he done it. I don't know how he made Christina's leg grow out in Romania when the guy said, I watched it, Brother Darrell, grow out in the meeting and she walked out well. I don't know how he done it. I don't know how that woman's tumor fell off the back of her ear up there in Ohio a few weeks ago, 6-7 months ago. I don't know how that happened, friends. I don't understand it. But I don't have to understand it. I just believe. You know I believe? Because I'm a believer. I believe he's able to do anything he said he would do.
Amen.
So the next morning, Mary goes down to wash clothes. And on her way down, she couldn't get that off of her mind. That remark that Joseph made when he stopped at that scripture of Isaiah 9:6. He said, you know, Mary, I always thought she was the beautifulest girl in the whole community. But somehow, just in the last few minutes, you're more beautiful than ever. Your eyes, they're just sparkling. Just when I mentioned that scripture, a virgin shall conceive, it's just like you illuminated. It's just like you lit up.
Yeah.
And she was thinking, why did that scripture do that to me? When I heard that scripture, why did it bring that kind of response to me?
Yeah.
Think of it, friends. Like when Brother Donnie is taking the mysteries of God and laying them out to us. And the church starts hearing those words. And it starts line up on line, precept upon precept. And the roar begins. Just like last Wednesday when Brother Tim was here. And he began to lay out that word and lay out that quote. And you begin to grab it. And the roar of the people. Why? What was she feeling? The same thing she was feeling. Hallelujah. You're feeling the same thing she felt. Why? That word for you is coming alive in you. And she saw a flicker of light. And the prophet of God said, I'm hurrying now. She turned another corner, saw another flicker of light. But the prophet said when she got to where it was just a small place where only her could pass. Because you see, it's an individual affair. It's not you and your mama, you and your daddy, you and your husband. It's you and Christ. He's revealed to you personally. What is new birth, Brother Bram? It's Christ revealed to you personally. You've met this person yourself.
Amen.
And when she got was just her could only go through. And when she got to that little narrow place, well, the only place she could do was look up. There she met the messenger. There she met the angel with that light standing around him. And it startled her. And he said, Hail Mary! Thou art highly favored of God. Oh God. Think of it. That little woman in the meanest city there was in Palestine. The meanest city there was. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of that city? We can say the same thing tonight. Can anything good come out of Laodicea? I say to you, come and see.
Amen.
Come and see.
Amen.
Amen. You see, she lived a good life. God chose her for a certain work he was going to do. Thou art highly favored. You see, God chose her. She never volunteered. She was chosen for God. I wasn't looking for God. You wasn't looking for God. God came looking for us. Isaiah said, we shall be called the people who's known as the sought out people. Who sought us out? He did. He come looking for me. He come looking for you. Don't you see? He sent Elijah to find us. He began to reveal to her the scriptures. He began to take the words of Isaiah and make them real to her. She knew the angel's message was scriptural. She began to think about the porch. She began to think about the scriptures. She began to think about the things that she had heard just yesterday. And while the angel messenger standing there, vindicated by God, a vindicated messenger from God, telling her the revealed word of the hour, taking the words of the prophet and tying them together and making them real to her. When she was hearing those words and she began to think of what she heard yesterday and she began to hear what it dawned on her. She knew his message was scriptural. And at that moment of time, she realized,
yes, sir.
It's me. When Isaiah wrote, "A virgin shall conceive," he was writing about me. At that moment, Mary realized, it's me. Isaiah was speaking about me. I am who Isaiah saw in a vision. Think of that, friends. Oh God, if you could only grasp that tonight.
Amen.
Just take that and bring it down to our day. It's the same thing. God sent to us a vindicated messenger to take the mysteries of the Word. What did He tell us? He come to tie up the loose ends. And what did He come to do? Show us who we are.
Amen. Amen.
A virgin shall conceive. Think how crazy that is. No matter how crazy it sounds to the world. The prophet's prophecy had came out of the scroll and was now flesh. Don't you see? This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The attraction had left the prophet and was now on his prophecy. She was what was happening. What's happening in this hour? What is God doing in this hour? She could say, it's me.
Amen.
It's me. God sent a messenger to her to tell her she was the vision. It's you. It's you. But you see, she had to receive the messenger's message. Just like you must receive what I've told you tonight. You've got one or two choices. You can either take what I've said to be the truth and believe I was speaking about you. Or you can say, I simply don't know about that, and walk out the building the same way you came in. But you see, the angel has come with a message. We know God has sent a messenger. The seventh angel messenger has come to us. He has come to us with the message. And that message has told us you're predestinated by God. You was in God's thinking before there was ever a world. You was in God's thinking then. He knew the color of eyes. He knew your hair color. He knew even your name. He knew everything about you. But you see, she had to receive the angel's message. And what did she say? Here's what she said. Something simple. Not something mind-blowing. Just four little words. Be it unto me. Be it unto me. Think of it, friends. The wickedest, darkest days. God once more has sent a messenger with the light to tell you. You are the vision. You are the dream. You are the thought that God thought in the meanest, darkest age of Laodicea. Can anything come out of Laodicea? Yes. I'm looking at it. An angel messenger with a great light. What did he come to do? He come to cause us to refocus. If you can only realize, it's me. It's me. I am the vision. I am the prophecy. I am the dream. I am the thought. I am the manifestation. I am the word. I am the wheat plant. I am Psalms 24, Psalms 27. It's speaking of me, the rapture chapters, Genesis 5. Enoch walked with God and was not. That's me. That's me. It's me. I'm the one he died for. It's me. I'm the one he was striped for. By his stripes you were healed. He took those stripes for me. He died for me. I'm the one he died for. I'm the one he was striped for. I'm the one he's coming for. I'm the one he loves. I'm the one he thought of. I'm the one he chosen. Everything you've heard Brother Donnie preaching, everything Brother Tim spoke last week, the things Brother David's been speaking, other brothers been speaking, can you see it? Can you understand it? Can you grasp it? Can you receive it and say, it's me. He's speaking of me. This is who I am. This is what I am. You've got to say it for yourself. You've got to express it for yourself. You know why? I'm closing. Because this is the spoken word age. It's not the age of nodding your head. It's not the age of clapping your hands. No, there's nothing wrong with that. We appreciate it when you clap. It makes you, it's like saying sick them to a dog. We appreciate that. But this is the spoken word age. More than just a nod. You must speak it. Why? Because your body will obey your confession. We must speak. We must speak what the Word says about us. I am an overcomer. Hallelujah. I am going in a rapture. I am a son of God. This is who I am. This is what the Word says I am. You've got to say it for yourself. Amen. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I have been redeemed from the devil's hand. Amen. There's power in the tongue. I am the woman at the well that Jesus came to. That character in the Bible, I identify with that. Verbatim said, when the angel come to me, he referred to me many things, such as St. John 4. What was he trying to get Brother Barry to see? This is the hour of the Son of Man ministry. What was the angel trying to do? Get Brother Branham to see his position. What did Brother Branham try to do? Get you to see your position. I am Rebecca. The Eliezer sought out. I am Rahab. Received the token. I am Mary that received the word of the Lord. I am the widow woman with the meal barrel that God sent Elijah to feed in the time of famine. It's me. Their outcome is my outcome. You see, they were typing out me. How very fortunate Enoch was to type you. Oh, God. Brother Harry, musicians, come. Come to the instruments. They were typing out me. I see my reflection in the mirror of the Word. Can someone catch it tonight?
Amen.
Can you catch it tonight and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Amen. Fulfilled where? Fulfilled where? In me.
Amen.
It's me. Now listen to me. This is my last thought. I promise I quit. Listen. If Brother Branham typed out Eliezer, can you say amen to that? If the message is a typing of the seeking out, because that's what he come with the message, he sought that out. So the message types the seeking out. Brother Branham types Eliezer. Isaac, the bridegroom, who does he type? Jesus Christ, is that right? The bridegroom. So Brother Branham typed Eliezer. The message is the seeking out. Isaac is a type of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Then I ask you tonight, my brother, my sister, who is Rebecca? That's the only place left. You see, I don't type Eliezer. Brother Branham did that. I don't type the message. The Holy Ghost does that. I don't type Isaac. That's Jesus Christ. So there's only one place in this play, in this drama that's being played out in this hour. There's only one part left. The bride's part. Then that has to be you. And if we can grasp that tonight, without any emotion, without any sensation, just take it simply because the Word said so. It'll bring our bodies subject to the Word. Because that's what God sent the Word for. God sent the Word to find you and bring you back to your original position. This day, these scriptures are fulfilled in your ears. They shall lay their hands on the sick. They shall recover. If you can believe that, if you can receive that tonight, that you're that one that can receive the benefits of this healing. If you can look into the Word and say, I'm the one He was striped for, then your healing is over.
Yeah.
It's done. It's been paid for. It's not something that's going to be, well, if I can hold my hands right, nonsense.
Amen.
He's already done it. Brother Bram said, if Jesus Christ was here in the suit He gave me, He could not heal you. You're already healed. The Word has done, declared it. All you need to do is step into the vision. You just need to step into the vision of the Word and say, it's me. Do you love Him tonight?
Amen.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. I desire to and obey. Is that your desire now? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Anyone need prayer tonight? We'll be glad to pray with you. Let go.
Desirous to come. You can be seated. Just stay prayerful, please.
Awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none.
Do you believe it now? Let's stand to our feet. Let's raise our hands to Him.
There is none like you. No one like you, my Lord. No one else can touch my heart like you can. I could search for all eternity long and find there.
Hallelujah. Truly, Lord, there's none like you. No one can touch our hearts like you do, Lord. No one can speak, Father, like you can speak to your bride, Lord Jesus. Whispering, dear God, love secrets into the ear of your beloved, Lord. Found favor in your sight. A grace, Father. A sweetness, Lord. A kindness to your people, Father. Oh, God, we love you tonight. You are so wonderful, Lord. You are so worthy, dear God. Lord, that you, Lord, would make us a part of your great plan. How we love you tonight, Lord. How we just thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. Those that come for prayer, may everyone receive, Lord, tonight. Father, may they receive what they've asked for, Lord God. Oh, Lord, you are our portion, God. You're our joy. You're our peace. You're our shield. You're our buckler. You're our bridegroom. You're our friend. You're the keeper of our flame. Oh, you're our joy. You're our rising of our sun. We love you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the word, Lord. Thank you for sending us Elijah, God. Thank you in this untoward generation, in this age of uncertainty, that we're a people who are certain of what we believed, vindicated by God Almighty Himself, Lord. Knowing, Father, we have the token on display, waiting for the call to come up yonder, Lord. Bless your children now, Lord. May we go tonight, Lord, thinking upon these things. May we be able to look into the Word. Father, may we never read it the same. When we look at these characters in the Bible, may we identify ourselves, Father. May we see that their outcome is our outcome. And you wrote it out in their lives, what you wanted to do in our lives, Lord. For you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's me, Lord. It's me. I say it humbly, God, not arrogant, Lord. God, I would never, Lord. No, revelation never exalts a man. It always humbles him, Lord. And we're humbled in your presence to think, Lord, that you would do something like that for us, God. Like the little washed lady out west, Lord, we had not one thing we could give you. Oh, God. The only thing she could give him when he come looking for her was a yes. Yes, I'll go with you. And Father, really, that's all you've asked me to do is to say yes. I believe, Lord. I believe. Father, I ask you, Lord, there's many tonight, many needs. Lord, many didn't come to the altar that has needs, Lord. The congregation this size, I'm mindful of that tonight. But Lord God, hear my humble prayer, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, may every need be met tonight. May the power of the Holy Ghost sweep upon them, Lord. In their homes, in their bedchamber, wherever they would be, God. May it move upon them, Lord. That fear, that depression, that anxiety, Lord, the need of that job, Lord, that question about their children, God, may it be answered, Lord. Oh, Father, as the great testimonies continue to come in, may there be more of your love and your mercy among us, Lord. Bless our children at school, Lord. Many of them started back to school now. And help them, God. Help them in school, Lord, to be a witness, to be a standard, God, that there is a young girl who can live right and dress in decency and holiness, but can be a young man that conduct himself as a warrior. God, let them be a witness. Let them carry the light to their schools, Lord. Grant it, Father. Watch over them. Keep them safe. Watch over our families, Lord. Bless the meetings coming up this weekend. If we humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Isn't he wonderful? Many years ago, I was hunting down in Kentucky. Brother Harry and all of us used to hunt down there, Brother Joe Pewitt's place, and I was coming down through a little washout, I guess it was, went down and started up the other hill, and it was everything was dead, everything around was dead, and I come up on this hill, and there on the side of the bank was the prettiest flower I believe I've ever seen in my life. It was yellow and it was purple, and the colors were so vibrant, and I just stopped in my tracks when I saw it. And I got to thinking how much attention to detail that God pays. And I thought, you know, that flower right there, it could be at the White House. That flower right there could be on Queen Elizabeth's table when she ate breakfast. It was that pretty. In my opinion, that flower was that pretty. It could have sat right there on her table and would not have been of out of place. And I thought, why, Lord, why out here in these woods would you put a flower and have so much attention to detail that it would stop me in my tracks? And while I was standing there, just something in my heart, you know, said, who saw it? And I said, I did. He said, it's for you. He done it for you. Don't you see, friends, this, don't you see what he's done tonight? Don't you see these great things in the Word? He done it for us. Because he loves us. Oh, just go in the fear of the Lord. Do you love him tonight? May God bless you. Thank you for your attendance to the Word. And just pray. We're heading towards Connecticut this weekend, so we desire your prayers. But go in the fear of the Lord. All hearts clear tonight. Amen. There is none like you. No one else. Bless you, bless you.
Search for all eternity long and find there is like you.
Bless you, saints, you're dismissed.
There is none like you. No one else can touch a heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is no one. Oh, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you. I could search for all eternity long and find.